These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Say that more slowly because I'm stupid.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
In the middle of last year, I think it was in June, you sort of changed your policy about talking. Are you going to go back to before that?
I mean, we can talk, but you know, you're not going to just come over and kind of overload me with negativity. That's not going to happen. All right, that's not going to happen.
That was the answer. I'll talk, but if you start pulling your crap, I'm out.
Viper.
All right, that was David Price. Today we've started Red Sox. Your thoughts. What's their ceiling? Can they win the World Series? Can they?
Of course they can.
Murray
yes.
says no.
No.
Jimmy Stewart, can they? Is there a ceiling a World Series championship?
I would put it at 1%.
No, that's too low. I mean, but
this team is missing that attitude, that want to win a World Series.
Oh, okay,
I don't think they have it.
I didn't say will they, and I agree.
I don't think they will.
Okay, but can they? Can they? If
no, there's enough there for them to win with.
And I agree. And I also agree with Stu that they're missing that thing, and that's how we let off the show. They did nothing to address it other than change the manager. Is that enough?
See, I feel like it isn't, because I think they need a legit power hitter. That's my assessment. But if you told me that, you know, Price and Sale both won 20 games, is that outlandish? No. And that they got in and shut down the opposition because they finally got, you know, clued in and pitched well in October, that wouldn't stun me either.
And again, between all
the abilities there.
All the kids that had downish years last year, if you just get three of them, Bradley, Betts, Benintendi, Bogarts, Devers, you get three of those guys to bounce back, your lineup's good. Not great, but good.
Yeah, so again, I'm not saying they're a
Hanley.
Favorite.
You know, put Hanley on the like it's.
So now you, of all people, believe in Hanley Ramirez.
I'm just saying there's ceiling.
Yeah, good luck.
They have ceiling. I do not believe
this
in
this team feels like the Oakland Athletics under the Moneyball era. Good regular season team will clean up on some of the dwellers, but once it gets to October, oh, my hands are off. I've done all that I can do.
All right, so let's start mixing in some calls.
Sure, yes.
With your thoughts. Pete in Delaware. Go, Pete.
Hey, guys. Comment and a question. Comment, the relaxed comment he made only bothers me from the standpoint that this team was very accepting of the way they lose in the playoffs. They just, there's no emotion when they lose. We saw it on the playing field. They got their butts kicked, and nobody, it just was very accepting. So I hope someone gets really angry or whatever and changes this, because it's just too accepting of it. And hey, Maz, question for you. As far as the economics this year, we've seen with the free agent signings, the money going down. Is there anything you can point to that you see that's causing that?
So, look, I think it's a lot of factors, like anything. I don't think it's
tax.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. But I also think that teams just say, well, you know, it's okay. We'll suck for a couple of years. Like, to me, there are a lot of elements there, which is honestly too long a discussion to have for right now. But as for this team, their potential is good. But let me ask you this basic question. Who hits 3-4-5?
Some combination of Devers, Benintendi, Hanley, Betts.
Okay, so and right answer, but the problem.
But Betts is going to lead off, you're saying, right?
So I think Betts is going to lead off because he did at the end of last year, and that seems to be where he's more comfortable.
Here's a better question.
But see, this is my problem. When you have a good team, who hits 3-4? Boom!
Who's 3? I mean, that's really the question.
I think it's Benintendi.
Your best hitter's 3.
I think it's Benintendi.
Your best hitter's 3 and Hanley should be 4. Like, that's what your lineup should be. It could be any one of 3 or 4 guys. It really could.
So I would say screw your comfort. Betts should be your 3, I would think.
So Betts is your best hitter, Murray, and I agree. I would want Betts in that spot as well, but it doesn't feel like they're going that way. I mean, I don't. Cora might at least. Let me rephrase. That's not the way they were doing it at the end of last year.
Right.
Right? So, but this is the problem. Like, I look at their lineup and I say, take your pick. Could be any one of a million guys. You get a Benintendi leadoff and Betts fourth. I don't know. I mean, this is the problem with their team.
Joe and Everett. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Hey, Maz, you hit the nail on the head 6 weeks ago when, you know, when you said that the Red Sox need the rock star. You know, I mean, they need Stanton. That's the missing piece.
So, Joe, like, to me, think of what just one guy like that would do. Stanton hits fourth. Fill in the rest. No problem. Everything builds around that guy. And they don't have that right now. So now, look, could these guys hit? Could you get the offensive potential that you think you are capable of? Of course. Yes, of course. If Betts bounces back and they tap into Bogarts and Devers, hell, there's your 3-4-5. Now you know. But to me, it still feels like there's a lot of fluidity there. They're still searching to figure out how it's going to fit together and what all the pieces are. And I don't know who I can rely on yet there.
Billy's in Waltham. Hi, Billy.
How you doing, guys? Mav, I just wanted to say I'm in the same boat with you. I think I'm cautiously optimistic that they're gonna have a good season. Like they're gonna turn it around a little bit. You know what I mean? I think this team is a little better than a lot of people are saying, but I don't think it's the greatest. On JD Martinez, why haven't the Sox pulled that offer off the table yet? It seems like nobody's bidding. Nobody else is in this. Like it's us against no one. We're offering him all this. We should offer him a 2-year deal.
Yes,
with a team opt out.
Yes,
you know what I mean.
Yes, JD Martinez on 2 years now. I think I'm in. But that whole thing, like, I'd love to see the owners tighten the screws even more and say, well, not only are we not going to go to your number, we're about to pull ours off the table.
Well, you know,
I'd love to see that.
Yeah, so would I. I'd love to them to pull it entirely and say, okay, forget it. 5 and 100's off. And again, now there's stuff out there today saying it's closer to 5 and 100, not 5 and 125.
Oh, nice.
So again, hard to know where it is in that window because Boris lies, frankly, and he's going to manipulate people and not tell them the truth. But you know what? Pull it off the table and say, now, see, the problem is they want the player. That's the problem. They want the player. 2 and 50. 3 and 70. I don't know. Like, figure it out. But 2 years, fine. I'm okay with that, too. I don't love the player, but 2 years isn't going to kill you. But they want the player. We know they want the player. This is the problem.
Mike in Connecticut. Go ahead, please.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Thanks for having me on. I'd like to talk to you about something that's been bothering me all last year and, through the winter, and that's Dustin Pedroia. He really bothers me a lot. I think Dustin Pedroia is a prima donna. I think he's a poor excuse for a team player, especially after what he did last year, standing at the top of the dugout, saying it's not me, it's them, when they retaliate on his behalf. So I think it's a problem in that dugout. In that clubhouse. Maybe I'm wrong. I like to see him traded, actually. I like to see him get rid of him and bring in someone like Martinez or somebody.
Is Pedroia part of the problem or part of the solution?
I thought he was part of the problem last season.
Yeah, I think I'm not sure he's either anymore, if you want to know the truth. I'm not sure how much you're going to get out of him at all, but you can't move him. He's a 10-5 guy. You're stuck. But if you have the right
leader... He's injury-prone and has how much, like 5 years left on that contract or
something? He had microfracture surgery in his knee. That's bad.
And they cleared him to run like only 3 weeks ago.
I mean, I'm not holding my breath on him coming back in June, if at all. Like, let's see how that one goes. That's a chronic problem. He could be close to done, for all we know. So, see, I think you've won with Pedroia in the past when you had leadership, because Dustin Pedroia is ultimately a follower.
No, he's the little leader, remember?
Oh, God, so, I had him so wrong. I thought he was the guy, you know, the tone setter.
I just think that at the end of the day, and this is part of the reason you like him in the role he was in, he just wants to show up and play. That's it. He just wants to show up and play. He doesn't want to deal with the questions, the team issues, any of that. He's a little dirt ball who wants to show up, dive all... No, and I say that as a sign of affection.
Yes.
That he wants to dive all over the field and play the game, and that's what he wants to do, and you can take the rest of it and shove it. And once you start asking him to do the other stuff, he gets, distracted and irritated, and he says and does stupid things.
Jeff in Rhode Island.
Here I am.
Hi, Dustin.
Hey, Maz.
Hey, go ahead, Jeffrey.
Hey, Maz. I just want to know, how come they're talking to JD Martinez and not going after a guy like Eric Hosmer from Kansas City?
Well, they want the power. I mean, they think the power potential with J.D. Martinez is higher, and they're right. On that one, they're right. Now, I like Hosmer as a player, too, but they already signed Moreland, so the ship has left the harbor on that one. And, you know, they want power. So, to me, I'd wait it out if I were them. If they can get Martinez on a short deal, fine, no harm, no foul. Hanley's up at the end of the year, and you can use his money and still make a run at Bryce Harper or whoever else. But a long-term deal with J.D. Martinez, to me, feels like Hanley all over again.
Rob in Cambridge, what do you got? Robert.
Oh, sorry, guys. Hi. I share the same concern with this team, the lack of power going into the year. But correct me if I'm wrong, but is this the third year in a row that the Red Sox have a starting rotation that has never made it out of the fifth inning in postseason play?
I'm just going to stop you for 1 second.
Price has made it out of the fifth inning in postseason, but he hasn't won as a starter. None of them have a win. None of them have a win in the postseason.
As a starter.
Right. Doug Fister was the only one, and he's gone. So, like, you talk about guys they lose.
Are we sure that any of these guys have ever made it out of the fifth?
No, Price has. He pitched into the seventh with the Blue Jays. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, but here, no one's done it.
No. I mean, maybe here. That's probably right, actually. You know, but Sale had one outing, right? So, look, I just think these guys have ability. It's in their heads. Or in the case of Sale, I think they ran him out of the ground last year, which is another one I love, by the way. When I said it at the end of last season, and this is like, I sound like you now going after the Bruins beat guys. I was the a-hole. Where were you going to pull him out of the game? You know, when were you going to take him out? When were you going to save the bullets?
You were the a-hole.
Now what are they saying? We got to find a way to make sure that Chris Sale has more in the tank at the end of the year. Thank you. So I was right.
Once again, genius walks alone.
Exactly. This. It's like, heaven forbid that you state something that is painfully obvious, and everyone thinks that you're just trying to stir crap up. And you're like, no, I'm not trying to stir crap up. Take a look at the guy. He's 190 pounds, soaking wet. He ran out of juice at the end of the year, and the manager, who since got fired, had him out there in the fourth inning of a game with 90 pitches trying to get him another inning. Idiot. Dumb. And the guy ran out of juice. Now, yeah, we got to find a way to make sure Sale has his legs in September. No kidding. Thanks. I told you that a year ago, for crying out loud. Dumb. Oh, that irritates the crap out of me.
Isn't it frustrating? You make a solid point. It's just a little negative, and so people, they just want to dismiss it out of hand because
that's not what I believe. Kind of like you saying the Eagles would win the Super Bowl a couple of weeks ago.
Something like that, yeah. Mike.
In terms
something
of shape
like
to his secondary pitchers?
Yes, the shape to his secondary pitchers, yes. Look, the thing with them...
But thanks for the heads up.
Okay, John.
There is the chance for them to be great. And this is what's frustrating about the Red Sox right now. They have the chance to be great. And for whatever reason, it seems like they can't get there.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Blunt force trauma to run it right down their throat.
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Well, this is what's fun. And these 2 weeks is when a lot of things heat up. There's a lot of teams, a lot of names. Elliot, a little rapid fire. What do you have?
Ryan McDonagh. I mean, he's one of the biggest names on the market right now. A lot of teams are looking at Boston and saying, they can do it. We've mentioned Tampa. And B, you know, there could be a fit on the left side of that Boston defense.
Ryan McDonagh, left shot D, New York Rangers. Number one defenseman. Not on every team. You know, if he goes to L.A., he's not a number one defenseman over Drew Doughty, but I'd say Ryan McDonagh is good enough to be a number one defenseman on two-thirds of the teams in the league. Something like that. So he's a legit number one defenseman. He's 28 years old. He only makes 4.7, which is a bargain for a guy of his caliber. And the Rangers are blowing it up. That should be their target.
And he's signed for one more year beyond this one, right?
One more year beyond this. So it's not a pure rental. It's the end of this year and next year. So,
oh, I like that.
So two cup runs for a guy who's not yet 30. Makes under 5, and fits perfectly on your roster. Oh, man. So I'm not going to talk about the return yet for a second, but if you go into the playoffs with D pairs of Chara, McAvoy, and then McDonagh, Carlo, and if you think Carlo's not ready, then, you know, Kevin Miller can go right up there and play on that right side on the second pair, or Adam McQuaid. So you've got, and then the third pair is Krug, which is what he should be, and then either Carlo, Kevin Miller, or McQuaid, which is what they should be.
And you get depth on top of it if you do it that way.
Then you've got a couple guys who are on the side who can step right in. So what, McQuaid or Miller's out. That's a great seventh defenseman to have going to the playoffs. Not to mention Grzelcyk, you know, all these other guys. But with a top four, of Chara, McAvoy, Ryan McDonagh, and Carlo, like, ooh. Like, that's really good. That's really good. That's like, I don't want to say it, but like deep playoff run kind of good. And if you can then rent someone on the right side of Krejci, you can just rent someone, whether it's Maroon. I think Nash is going to be too expensive, but if you can rent, Vanek, you know, someone like that. If you can rent someone for the right side of Krejci, ooh, like that's, like you're there. Like, you're kind of there. But McDonagh. Ryan McDonagh is not just for this year. It's for next and hopefully beyond. Like, he can be a cornerstone guy. He can be that guy to be there in case McAvoy has his ups and downs. If McAvoy doesn't turn into Drew Doughty overnight and Chara gets old, you still have a number one captain franchise defenseman in Ryan McDonagh. So that should be their target. Ryan McDonagh. And I'm reading from SB Nation, Stanley Cup of Chowder, which is like a Bruins fan site, I guess. I'm sure I'm not describing that properly. Don't hold it against me. Just work with me, please. Stanley Cup of Chowder, folks. They write that, you know, just for background, Ryan McDonagh has received Norris votes in 5 of his 8 seasons. So he's never been a Norris winner. I'm not even sure he's been a finalist, meaning top 3. But he's always in that the periphery of that conversation. So in 5 of his 8 years, he's received Norris votes. He has raised this. He's never been a negative player in his 8 seasons.
I find that amazing.
He has twice scored over 40 points from the blue line. They say flat out he's one of the best defensemen in the league on an affordable contract and under 30 years old. And to be frank, he is likely the Rangers' biggest opportunity to jumpstart their rebuild with picks, prospects, or young, talented NHLers coming back in trade. So what does that mean? And as they say in this story on SB Nation, Stanley Cup of Chowder, the players the Rangers would be interested in are likely among a group of Danton Heinen, Jake DeBrusque, Brandon Carlo, top prospects like Ryan Donato. Then I'm going to mispronounce this name, Jake Stanika, was their second-round pick last year, I believe, who's lighting it up in the juniors, a really good prospect. Euro Vakanainen, their first-round pick.
Oh, yeah, the defenseman,
That
right?
defenseman. Trent Frederick, who is the big center out of Wisconsin.
They
took in the first round 2 years ago. They also have all their draft picks to sweeten the deal.
Boy, they got a ton.
So you look at it and you say, if the Bruins want to do it, they can do it.
Oh, yeah, they can do it. They got a ton to deal.
No, I mean, period, story over. They can do it. They can do it. They have the ammo. It's not like you look at some teams and say, well, they just don't have what the Rangers would want. You have what the Rangers would want. If you sent them back, like, for example, if you sent them back Carlo, Heinen, and a first, like, that's a really good return. You probably get that player. Carlo, Heinen, and a first. Now, I wouldn't do that.
I don't want to give up Carlo there.
I don't want to give up Carlo. I don't want to give up Heinen. So this is the problem. Now, how you think of this as a Bruins fan? You know, it feels like what Sweeney's doing is working. He's drafting and developing, and these kids are starting to come up, and you're seeing that they can play. And now there's a whole nother wave coming up behind this wave that we haven't even seen yet. The Stanika kid, the Frederick kid. You still have Bjork, who's been down in Providence back there. You still haven't seen Sinishin and Zaboral, and maybe these guys are bust, but it's still sort of a whole nother wave that's coming. Jeremy Lawson, the defenseman, and then all the guys that you've seen little snippets of. Greslick, could be an NHL defenseman. Austin Zarnik could be an NHL player. He's young. He's just a kid.
No, they got the ammo. It's not a question of ammo. They got it.
So they have all these guys.
See, this is why.
Jacob Forsbacka Carlson, who they thought would be ready last year. So I just ripped off 10 names. 12 names.
And I don't want it to happen because you've sucked to stockpile. Now that you have these players, I feel like there's not pressure on the team to make a move like this. Okay, it'd be nice for them to go on a deep run. But right now, do you feel like there's pressure on the Bruins that they have to make a deal?
No,
this has all been gravy.
But if you had Ryan McDonagh, you are legit. But
to give up Carlo and Heinen.
So
and
I'm
Pick,
not giving up Carlo. I'm not giving up Carlo. Would they take Krug?
No. No.
What kind of rebuild is it? Are they blowing it all up so they'll take picks and young players, or is it a rebuild on the fly? Because maybe they'd take Krug.
So Krug's a little too old, and he's not old, but a little too old and expensive for what they want to do, which is rebuild with really young players or picks. Can you convince them that Zaboral, which was that first pick of the three you took 3 years ago, the highest of the three, who has been slow starting in his career? You know, Jake DeBrusque was taking two players after him, and he's NHL ready and playing. Zaboral is barely on Providence. But he is. He's there. Scored his first career AHL goal the other night, I think. So he's slower in coming, but he was a 13th overall pick.
Right. It was him, Zaboral, DeBrusque, and Sinishin.
So can you make Zaboral, the Rangers are going to take a defenseman coming back, right? So instead of giving him Carlo, can you get them to bite on Krug? Can you get them to bite on Zaboral? Can you get him to bite on Greslick? He could be an NHL defenseman, young kid. He's looked good here. I don't know. Maybe that's not enough. If it took Carlo, do you do it?
They'd want Lozon. That's the guy they would want.
Would you do it?
That's a toughie. You hear such great things about him, too. And he's a left shot, although McDonough's a left shot.
Would you do Heinen?
I would do Heinen or DeBrusque.
See, I'm not doing DeBrusque.
So, but
DeBrusque is like the only kid of those three that can play. I think you need something out of that draft.
Okay, but again, I'm saying Heinen or DeBrusque. You have two guys who are basically playing the same position, right? They're both left wings.
And so this is the problem of what I just said. Then thank you, Maz. All those 10, 12 names, you can't. They're not all going to be on the roster.
No.
They repeat. There's redundancy there. So you've got to pick. You've got to pick who's going to come up and be on your team and who's not, and deal the others and make some choices there. That's what you were saying. Like this is going to be hard for Sweeney to figure out just what mix.
I mean, and you got to get the right ones, because if you pick the wrong guy, you get porked on multiple levels. Right? A, you keep a bad player, and you give away a good one in the process. This is where the job gets hard to me for Sweeney, if you're asking me.
So again, Stanley Cup of chowder.
I'd give up one of those wings. I'd give up DeBrusque or Heinen, one of the two, but not both.
So, you know, they go through all these ones that would get it done. Like, for example, DeBrusque, Carlo, and a third-round pick would get it done. Because DeBrusque and Carlo are such high quality, you don't have to give up a first.
That's too much. I'm not doing that.
Or something like Brandon Carlo, plus the Stanika kid I just said, or Trent Frederick, and a first would get it done. He says, Danton Heinen, a low draft pick and a mid-level prospect, would get it done. He also says, Torrey Krug, a second rounder and a mid-level prospect. Like, see, I would do that one in a heartbeat.
So would I.
Because I think Krug is ultimately a third pairing D.
See, what do the Rangers want with Krug?
They wouldn't. I don't know why they would.
$5 million, third pairing defenseman. They're rebuilding, and he's older than those other guys. How old's Krug? Is he 29?
No. He's like 25.
Let me check.
So I think he's right in the middle of those. I don't think he's 29. No, he's in his mid-20s. The thing is, I mean, I would deal Krug for McDonough, no problem. But I also...
27 in April.
27, so he's 26.
about to be 27.
See how I did that to work to my advantage? But I love Krug as your third pairing D. Now, that's where he should be. If your pairs are Chara, McAvoy, McDonough, Carlo, Krug, Pickett, Kevin Miller, that's a really good decor. If Krug and Kevin Miller are your third pair, like what they should be, that's a good third pair. You got two kids, you got two vets, like, you're ready to go.
If you could ever give up Krug and eat some of the money, oof, that I would do in a minute.
So that was
when did you become Mike Gorman?
That was Elliot Freeman. Like, what do you mean?
Be a sad day for me if Avery Bradley was traded.
I know what he meant.
I wouldn't give up Jay Crowder.
See, but I'm telling you, this is where
I wouldn't give up Marcus Smart.
So would you give up them all, Jimmy? Like, are like none of these guys untouchable?
What, we're hoarding prospects now? Are we going for a prime defenseman or not?
Would you give up Carlo if that's what it took to get McDonough?
Yep, Ryan McDonough is a stud. Love the player. Go get him.
You'll regret that. Don't trade Carlo.
McDonough is a stud. I like Carlo. I like what they're doing. I like what they're doing with him. He's never going to be a number one.
How many top level captain defensemen ever hit the trade market?
Okay, but there's another way to look at this, and that is you have that guy. You have McAvoy. McDonough's going to be a second pairing guy, or he's going to play next to McAvoy for a super pair. But it's like he's going to be your second best defenseman. You have McAvoy.
Yeah, super pair.
McDonough's a perfect fit for him though, for so many different
perfect
reasons.
Captain. He's been to three conference finals. Like. Perfect.
Right, and as Chara phases out here, you could keep him, and he becomes your veteran leader on D.
You have the ammo to do it.
Sullins is, you know, one of my favorite kids on the team.
See, this is why Sweeney did it the right way, because once you stockpile these players, now the world is open to you.
So the voice you heard to begin the same was Elliot Freeman. I should have said that, or maybe they said it on the clip. Elliot Freeman, the big information guy up there in Canada, he's the one that linked the Bruins and McDonough. So we're just sort of running with it.
I didn't want to trade Tyler Zeller.
Trade deadline is when? The 26th? Is that right? It's in 2 weeks. Either way, it's in 2 weeks. And if the Bruins want to do something, they can really do something. That's all I know. What do you think?
Felger and Maz.
Ooh, I like this.
This is Felger and Maz.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5.
The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
Bird in Maine, though, on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Bird.
I wanted to make a comment on the 1% chance. Is that of making the World Series or winning it?
So I think Stu put their chances of winning the World Series at 1%, Bird. Do you have a problem with that?
I definitely do. We're the number 6 team in the overall rankings to win the World Series this year.
Where, and is that Vegas or is that your own personal Bird and Maine power rankings?
No, that's not the Bird and Maine power ranking. That's actually on Odd chart.
Can someone just look that up?
I'll
tell you what.
Look up World Series odds.
I just looked them up right now. I got them in front of me already. The Red Sox are 6th, 10-1.
So that's a 10% chance, Stu, not a 1% chance.
I think they're the 7th best team in the American League.
And so just to give you an idea.
Whoa. Wait a minute. Stu, give me your Jimmy Stewart American League power rankings, please.
Astros, Indians, Angels, Yankees, Rangers, Twins,
Come
Red
on.
Sox.
Come on.
What's the Rangers rotation after Darvish left?
Stand by.
You can't name any of their starters. You can't even name them. You got to look it up, and you're a seam head.
Cole Hamels, proven playoff performer.
10 years ago.
Better than anything you have as far as postseason goes.
Okay.
Matt Moore. Doug Fister, who has won a postseason game, and your team
right.
hasn't.
Yeah.
We're fisting.
Okay, so he's their third starter?
But I'm more looking at their lineup of Gallows or Odor, Andrus, Beltre, Cho, DeShields, Marza, all these offensive players in that ballpark.
They'll hit the crap out of the baseball in that ballpark.
Just like they always do.
Just real quick, though, on the back end of the Red Sox rotation, though, so is Porcello going to bounce back? Do you think Pomeranz is going to win 17 games again? And is it Stephen Wright going to be their fifth starter? Like, I think that's kind of shaky.
And you forgot Eddie Rodriguez. I think the rotation's good. A lot of options there, even if one or two fall off.
Yeah, their seventh starter is something named Jalen Bleeks.
Seventh. Jimmy.
Beeks.
Seventh.
Look, it's all about the front three guys. In the rotation, it's all about the top three. And their top two are as good as anybody in the game.
So is three Porcello?
Take your pick.
Especially in the
Porcello
postseason.
Eduardo
Rodriguez. That rotation in the postseason is just dynamite. Zero career postseason.
Okay, but
wins.
That's not what the discussion is. Jimmy, your 1% is way too low. It's way too low. Just to give you. Because, again, they don't suck. Like, Jimmy's got them at 81 and 81.
Do you really?
82 and 80.
What are the teams ahead of the Red Sox in the odds?
Dodgers, Astros, Indians, Nationals, Yankees. And to give you an idea, the Red
Where
Sox...
The Cubs aren't?
Same as the Red Sox, 10 to 1.
That's stupid.
Cubs should be higher.
Okay, so now look, I agree the Cubs should be higher. But then after that, who?
Diamondbacks.
I sort of put them kind of in the same boat as the Red Sox. Like, I look at the Diamondbacks and say, yeah, they're good. Are they great?
Let's go
no.
back. Christian and Easton on the Bruins. Hi, Christian.
What's up, guys? So I think what they got to, or what the Bruins have to do, is they need McDonough. McDonough's going to be, you know... I mean, once Char goes, Char can ride off into the sunset. McDonough will take over. But what I think they also should do is I think they got to get Thomas Vanek, and then Vanek and Krejci will get that weird, you know,
yes.
Slovak connection going.
Yes.
And then that'll be your solution there on the right line.
And Vanek should be cheap. Like, that should be a, you know, deadline rental. He's 30. He's a million years old.
I like that idea.
He can still put the puck in the net, but he's got a little bit of size. And it shouldn't be that expensive. I don't even know where he plays. Is he in Vancouver?
I think he was in Vancouver. That sounds right.
Vancouver, 56 games, 16 goals.
Okay, so, again, they stink. But, I don't know. To me, that's what I'm looking at. I'm not looking at a transformative kind of move there next to Krejci. I'm looking for a rental, a veteran rental. A little more size, a little more playoff seasoning. Spooner's been good for him. But I think Spooner's going to get rubbed out in the postseason. You can just rub that fellow right out. You know what I mean? McDonough, that's different. That's an organizational, here we go. That's your guy. This should be for the next 5 years who can be a co-number one next to McAvoy, and you are stacked on D.
Like, so would you take like a Stempniak again at right wing with Krejci? Is that not enough?
I was hoping for a little bit more than that. That's why I said Vanek, but I think even something like that I would look at.
I mean, you should be able to maybe get something like that for a second-round pick.
Exactly right. Phil in Malden wants to follow up on the Paul Pearson. Go ahead, Phil.
Here we go. That's Mel, Mike, two things on the retirement ceremony. If and anything was made of Ray Allen not showing up and anybody other than me that saw Mike Tomlin in the audience behind the Celtics bench.
I didn't
other than
see
that, it was a great ceremony.
Yeah, I people loved it. I didn't see Mike Tomlin. I did see Shaq, though, sitting next to Kevin Garnett, except it turned out to be Antoine Walker. I didn't notice Mike Tomlin.
Just mean.
Seriously, Antoine's huge. I didn't believe the picture when you guys showed me.
I did notice someone with a real issue. Someone's got to get to him.
Oh, my God.
That's not healthy.
He's gigantic.
He changed that old Adidas commercial into employee number, comma, 8.
I don't fully get that.
You remember the employee number 8 Antoine Walker commercial?
There's a gigantic guy sitting there in this blue sport coat. I went, oh, my God. It looks like Vince Wilfork. It does. And he's looking on his phone, and Murray with the line of the year said, oh, look, he's ordering food.
Ray Allen was golfing. Ray Allen was golfing. So there's beef there between him and Rondo. And I don't care. It's Real Housewives of the NBA stuff. Like, I can't possibly bring myself to care about Ray being there or not, and him and Rondo, and like, please, do that on your own time.
I think Antoine was dialing up Uber Eats.
Here's CB in Worcester on the Red Sox. Go ahead, CB.
Yeah, no, I'm just calling because I have a real problem with everyone dumping on Dustin Pedroia. It's like, you know, he was stealing signs last year. I hear people crying outrage. But it's like, who else was giving their team anything while they were hurt? This guy's stealing signs while he's hurt. I wish Julian Edelman was doing that in the Super Bowl. I didn't know the Philly special was coming.
So you think the fact that he was part of the Apple Watch scandal is a good thing? Look, so I mean, I look at Pedroia and say,
Here I am.
I don't know, Dusty. Like, I used to think you were the straw that stirred the drink, that when they got good, you'd be right in the middle of it. Gamer, winner, brings them that element that they need and they lack. I used to think that was you.
Nope.
And no, it seems like you're part of the issue.
See, but he's fine as long as you have a team that's focused on baseball. Pedroia's fine there. Again, he can be part of a winning team. He has been part of a winning team. The problem is when you don't have a team that's focused on baseball, can Pedroia reel him in? And he can't.
Nope.
But my concerns with him now have more to do with his health. I'm not sure how good he's going to be anymore. He was on one leg last year. Who's going to play second base for this team?
Blake Swihart.
Blake, yeah.
Okay, so, but it's probably going to be either Brock Holt, Marco Hernandez, or Zhu-Wei Lin to start the year. One
Blake
of those
Swihart
guys.
Is your second baseman.
No, I mean, Cora, is he working at a second base?
Cora talked about him today as playing second, playing third, et cetera, et cetera.
Second base? Oh, that's asinine. He can't play second base. That's stupid.
We got options. I mean, we got options. Going back to Swihart, we got a bunch of guys that they're very athletic. Some are righties, some are lefties, good defensive players, guys that are versatile enough that we can move around. So obviously the spring is going to determine when that happened, and health, obviously, but I feel very comfortable with the guys that we have. They can perform at the big league level.
You know what? They have screwed that kid six ways to Sunday, what they've done with that kid. Catcher, left field, like, you know, corner infield. Can you just let him play in a spot? He was a shortstop out of high school, fine, but they made him into a catcher. Now you're going to make him a second baseman? Oh, God, that's so dumb. Quit screwing with the kid. You've already effed up his career. They've totally effed up the kid's career. He was a good player when he came up. And you know what they did? They started yanking him around because they had needs at other positions, and they effed him up. They screwed Blake Swihart. They screwed him.
You see how mad Maz gets when we start talking about baseball again?
Oh, it's great.
The anger.
He's right about that. I mean, there was Buster Posey comparisons when they had him at catcher.
Absolutely. You know about Noah? We got to put him in left field because we have a need there. He's athletic. He can do it. And shortstop, third base. Yeah, how about Swihart at first? Let's put him at first. Now they want to put him at second. What's next? Right? Center? Like what? DH? Pitcher. Relief? What are they going to do?
Could use a starter who could win a postseason game. Why not him?
If I tell you, I would. If I were him, I'd sue them. I would. I would sue them for malpractice. They've effed up my career.
Maz and the Red Sox. Only guy who can look John Henry in the eye and ask him when he's going to die. That actually happened.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
If something were to happen to you, and please don't interpret that as anything more than just a hypothetical, okay? What happens to the Red Sox? With all due respect, how old are you now? 62, I think, right? No, older.
After today, I must be 75.
I forgot about that particular question.
It's the greatest.
I know you guys grilled him, but that one really, it comes off as, I mean, you are going to die really soon, right? You're going to die. So who's going to take over when you die? When are you dying?
This is in November of
2011.
2011, when John Henry barged into our studio.
John, come back anytime. We'd love to see you.
It's been so long ago now, it feels you got to tell people what happened. Like,
it was a lifetime ago.
We were talking all sorts of... I mean, just after that in brutal implosion in 2011. The chicken and beer, and then there's the Bob Holler story exposing all of that, and Tito Francona on pills and marital problems, and it was just...
The segment before, Maz had asked me on the air to see if we could get his first two ex-wives on the radio.
So it got to the point where it's like, well, if we're going to start talking about marital problems and everything, well, John, how long have you been married? Well, this is your third wife. And Maz says, yeah, I get his first two wives on the phone.
I started
and,
Googling numbers.
Oh, my God. So he showed up. Just showed up. Came in between commercial breaks and just sat down, and that happened. That happened now almost over five, six years ago. Wow. Right? Long time ago.
Yeah, the famous story is he walked into the lobby and said, you know, hi, I'm John Henry. I want to go on the radio. And our receptionist said, and I'm Lee Dickman. Well, like, who do you want to talk? Don't we all? Or something like that.
Our receptionist's name is really Lee Dickman.
Yeah, Lee Dickman.
Or it was Lee Dickman.
And he's still in the building. He's not the receptionist anymore.
Well, so no, no. But the story is Henry didn't even say who he was. He said he walked into the lobby and said to Dickman, I want to go on the radio. And Dickman said, well, of course, we all want to be on the radio. Who are you? And Henry says, well, I'm John Henry. And Dickman says, and I'm Lee Dickman. Who are you? Okay, so, like, great story.
You did a better job of telling it than I did.
That's basically what happened. And then he barged into our studio, and we proceeded to go back and forth. And for 45 minutes, it got to the point where Maz asked him what was going to happen when he died. That's how good it got. Oh, it's so uncomfortable. So I spliced together the two questions for effect. I think we did a good job with that.
I'm Lee Dickman.
Okay, so here's the Hulk. That's Fast Freddy from our former sister station. Play the whole clip, Jimmy. Play the, because this is now relevant, because now it turns out Pizzuti does have points in the Red Sox. And where is this going? And this was revealed yesterday, but it's a perfect chance to relive Henry 6 years ago in our studios here when Maz asks, I mean, really, the only question that really matters.
If something were to happen to you, and please don't interpret that as anything more than just a hypothetical, okay, what happens to the Red Sox?
Well, just as if Theo leaves, we have someone to replace him. If something happens to me, we have someone to replace
him. This is what we're asking. Georgia Frontieri in St. Louis.
How about Tom Werner?
Well, but you are the principal owner. You are the principal owner of the franchise,
yeah, but,
John.
But Tom and I essentially run Fenway Sports Group. Larry runs the Red Sox. And so if something happens to me, that doesn't mean that things are going to change. You know, will that mean the team will eventually be sold? Even if nothing happens to me, sooner or later, the team is eventually going to be sold.
Well, of course.
We're not immortal.
But
if something happens to me, I don't see, you know.
Would Linda become the principal owner of the franchise?
Oh, yeah. I thought, were you guys saying that she was the new general manager? Was that you guys?
No, I was hoping president and CEO.
Oh, I see.
But, John, that is something that is a question that fans have here. I mean, with all due respect, how old are you now? 62, I think, right? No, older.
After today, I must be 75. But Linda doesn't take over. That's not what she would want to have happen, and that's not what I would wish on
anyone
I love.
Okay, so that was that exchange.
Larry Lucchino runs the Red Sox.
Still the money line. He said it a couple times, eh? So now that we find out Linda Pizzuti does have points in the company, is an investor in the company, what do we think?
So from what I read, it's a very small percentage, right?
Right.
So, I don't think there's a threat of her becoming the principal owner of the team and being put in a decision-making capability. This feels to me like Henry she probably expressed some desire to still have some control of the team if and, you know, when he's no longer involved, and he made sure that that happened. That's what it feels like to me. I don't know for sure.
What do you think the trend line of this is? You know, Henry says it's Werner. The next guy really feels like Mike Gordon, right?
Agreed, yeah. I think Mike Gordon has a bigger percentage than Werner does. I don't know that, but at one time the New York Times was the second biggest, had the second biggest ownership stake in the Red Sox. Their route, it became Gordon and not Werner.
Let's go Red Sox!
This is just a big picture thing. That's Tom Werner, not Mike Gordon. A big picture thing. Just, you know, file away, you know, because file it away.
It does make you wonder if Henry's getting ready to sell or just...
Gene Yawkey.
Yeah.
Georgia Frontiera. Did Marge Schott take over when her husband died?
Sure.
Is that how she got the team?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Right? You know, so this happens. The McCaskies in New York, in Chicago?
Yeah, yeah.
The Chicago Bears, didn't that
Sounds
happen?
Sounds right, yep.
Amy Adams Strunk with the Tennessee Titans. That's the daughter.
Isn't there a Ford, elderly lady Ford, who really owns the,
yeah. the Lions? Yeah,
yeah
the
very
Lions.
Good point, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. Just file it away. File it away. Interesting
I
to think about.
I just came here to help you rating.
Thank you, John.
So, like, you know, I start to wonder, is Henry getting ready to get out? And on some level, I mean, I don't know what it means, but why now? Why? And apparently it happened months ago, right? It happened last summer?
Yeah, it happened at the end of last summer,
but,
right?
But if Linda was interested in having some stake in the team, whenever it is that John is no longer involved with the team, why did they do it now? Why did it happen 3 years ago? Or so that to me, that's sort of the one thing I wonder about. But it doesn't sound like she's going to be the principal owner.
Did you guys know that?
No, we didn't, John. Any excuse to play you asking John Henry when he's going to die?
I don't think that's out of bounds a question.
Oh,
I mean,
it's not out of bounds. It's just
I'm here to answer your question.
Thank you, John.
I mean, you have a will, don't you?
I do. Yeah, that's all taken care of. Absolutely.
So you got a plan for these things?
No question.
If something were to happen to you. And please don't interpret that as anything more than just a hypothetical, okay? What happens to the Red Sox? With all due respect, how old are you now? 62, I think, right? No, older.
It's a great one.
It's an underrated part of the... No, you're not 62 years older than that.
All due respect, you're ancient.
What happens to the Red Sox? With all due respect, how old are you now? 62, I think, right? No, older. No wonder the guy hates me.
What a great day. That's a day that will live in infamy.
I thought you were my friend, Tony.
You know what? I actually like the guy. He thinks I hate him. I don't. I like the guy, but
No.
He hates me like poison.
He now hates us, and you particularly.
You're a viper. Just like John.
We've asked for you to appear on this program. I don't know whether those get relayed to you or not, but we have asked.
No, I wonder why they don't relay them. So ugly that they miss these.
I think he's 69 years old, actually.
Not then he wasn't.
No. So he was 62
back then. You were closer to the bone back then.
I was.
No. Good. First, we took one commercial break in an hour. And when we took the commercial break, the light goes off. John takes off his headset, looks at Maz and goes, "What happened to you?"
He said, "No, he did." He said, "I used to like you." It's true. Yeah, I was a nicer person at my younger age.
Did you start working with me? You're welcome.
The Sports Hub.